Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 54th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, you listened to the story of Abu Zar's acceptance of the divine religion of Islam. Today, we discuss the accounts of others like the Prophet's uncle and cousins, who were original monotheists, as well as those who were attracted to Islam, although not out of conviction, but for commercial and social interest. Let's listen to the rest of the story. Ja'far, son of Abu Talib, says,
I used to live with my uncle Abbas. I was now 23 years of age, and whilst passing through a lane, I bumped into my father and greeted him. He said,
Where are you going, Ja'far?
Uncle Abbas has asked me to go to the Abta district to collect a sum of money due from someone.
I am on my way to visit your cousin and brother.
I had not seen them for a while, given that young Ali is living with our dearest elder cousin, Muhammad. I decided to first accompany my father to visit them and later carry out the task which my uncle had entrusted me. I was aware that our cousin had been formally entrusted with prophethood by God Almighty. I was eager to know more about this development. Hence, one day, upon seeing my younger brother Ali, I asked him to enlighten me. He provided me with details of how the Archangel Gabriel had descended upon our cousin, the Prophet, and conveyed to him God's commandment to declare his mission as the last and greatest of all prophets.
Ali says,
One day, in the company of the Prophet, I was in a gorge outside Mecca, where the graves of our ancestors are located, and we were praying to God. All of a sudden, my father Abu Talib arrived and saw us in the state of ritual prayer. Up to that day, he had not seen us praying like this. He paused for a while until we finished our prayers. He then addressed the Prophet, saying,
My dear nephew, please inform me in detail of these rituals which God had commanded you to perform.
Dear uncle, as a monotheist and the last legacy of the trusts of the prophets of the past, you know that God Almighty ordered me to formally declare my mission as the last and greatest of his messengers, so that I could publicly invite mankind to Islam. The one who rallied first and foremost to my call and became my assistant is your son, Ali, whom God has decreed as my vicegerent.
Then the Prophet of Islam told us the teachings of Islam. My father paused for a while, and then he said,
I am wholeheartedly with you, my dear nephew, but in order to protect you from the evil of the pagan Arabs, I will keep my faith concealed from them. Be assured, I will not let anyone harm you.
Father, we just now performed the daily ritual prayers which God Almighty has made obligatory upon Muslims.
Yes, my dear son, your cousin As-Sadiq and Amin is the most truthful and trustworthy person, so diligently follow him and protect him.
Abu Talib and Ja'far, upon entering the Prophet's house, found him and the young Ali getting ready for the daily ritual prayers. Upon seeing his dear uncle and cousin, the Prophet of Islam warmly welcomed them. Then Ali spread a mat on the floor, placing two cushions on it next to the wall. The Prophet courteously asked Abu Talib and Ja'far to seat and called on the maidservant Baraka to bring a cool glass of syrup. Then he addressed Abu Talib.
While we perform the daily ritual prayer, please take a rest and freshen up.
As you wish, my dear nephew.
The Prophet of Islam led the prayer, while Ali prayed behind him, bowing and prostrating to God Almighty. Abu Talib glanced at them for a while and then addressed Ja'far.
Stand up, Ja'far, and join your cousin in observance of the ritual prayer.
Ja'far immediately stood up and joined the two in performing the daily prayer. Abu Talib gladly glanced at them for a while. Then he started to say in soft tones,
By the God of the Holy Kaaba, I will never allow anyone to harm or humiliate my nephew whom me and my wife Fatima bint Asad have brought up as our son. Dear Ali and Ja'far, always keep the company of your cousin.
Elsewhere in Mecca, two merchants, one named Osman son of Affan of the Umayyad clan and the other called Abu Bakr son of Abu Qahafa, meet.
Hello Abu Bakr, where are you going? You seem to be in a rush.
Dear Osman, I am on my way to visit a friend.
I hadn't seen you for a long while, Abu Bakr. They said that you are on your way to Syria.
Yes, I was accompanying a trade caravan to that land.
You must have brought about beautiful fabrics from Syria.
Abu Bakr was a trader of fabrics and clothes for a number of years. So how come his friend Osman asked such a question, especially since Osman was also a well-known fabric dealer in Mecca? Abu Bakr realized that this was Osman's pretext to make another remark. However, he remained silent, waiting for his friend to speak out. Osman said,
Dear Abu Bakr, what are the latest news from Syria? Before, whenever you returned from a business trip, you spoke of whatever you had heard and seen.
That was the case. The residents of Mecca usually interacted and traded with Abu Bakr. Some, like Osman, were more familiar with Abu Bakr because the two, more or less, had the same occupation and were of the same age group. Abu Bakr said,
Now tell me, where are you heading for, Osman?
I am on my way to the marketplace and my stall. However, there is no rush. Yesterday, I realized that you have returned from your trip. I came to see you in the morning. However, you were not home. I intended to meet you and at the same time see whatever fabrics and clothes you have brought with yourself from Syria.
So be it. Now it is close to nightfall. I will stay in the house tomorrow, awaiting your arrival.
I'll do as you say.
The two friends slowly walked through the slopped lanes of Mecca, heading for the upscale Abtah district. Abu Bakr asked about the state of some of his friends. Osman, for his part, once again asked questions about the things which Abu Bakr had seen and heard in his trip.
The latest news is the refusal of Uday ibn Hatim of Yemen to worship idols since he's a Christian.
Is that so, Abu Bakr?
Yes, this is the case. Everyone in Hejaz is aware of this.
This is an astounding story. It seems as though there has been an uproar among Arabs while they turn their backs on the traditions of their forefathers, one after the other.
Abu Bakr sensed the irony and sarcasm in Osman's remarks and said,
"In Syria and Yemen and Fars and other lands, people gave up worshipping idols long ago, so in Yathrib and its surroundings, many Jews have settled while several Arabs have converted to Christianity."
Osman nodded his head in confirmation of Abu Bakr's remarks. However, it seems as though his mind was occupied over something else. He said,
"And what about the son of Hatam? How come he let go of the tradition of his forefathers?"
"That is a long story, Osman. In short, one day Odai headed for the place of worship of their tribal idol, Fals, to sacrifice a camel. I've also been to that place to worship that idol. The idol Fals is like a black man and is located in the middle of a mountain. The Thai tribe believes in this idol. Many of the tribal members make sacrifices and present offerings to this idol. The status of idol Fals is high among them, such that whenever a wrongdoer seeks refuge with this idol, he is safe, and no one has the right to persecute that wrongdoer. Meanwhile, on that day, upon the arrival of Odai to the place of worship, a camel out of the herd of a man named Malik escaped and headed for the place of worship of Fals. So Malik mounted a horse and chased the fleeing camel, whose rein was now in the hands of the priest of Fals' temple, who was named Seifi."
"The camel belongs to your idol, Fals."
Malik didn't accept these remarks and demanded his camel. In response, Seifi told him that it seemed that you have broken your pledge of allegiance to Fals. The angered Malik drew his sword and charged at Seifi, who became frightened and sought refuge with the idol Fals, cursing Malik at the same time. Upon seeing this incident, the astounded Odai asked his associates to watch what Fals would do to Malik. However, nothing happened to Malik, and Odai has publicly given up belief in idols and now openly professes Christianity."
Upon hearing this story, Osman pondered for a while and didn't speak a word. Dear listeners, many thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to tune in next week to listen to the rest of the story. God bless you all.